T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Pecorine with some giant saves. Remember those saves. If Nashville is able to make a move here. Smith challenging. The rebound, Turris. Played to the middle. Ellis picks up on it. Ellis holds. He scores! Brian Ellis brings Smashville alive. It's 1-1.
Brian Boyle, 1-for-2 this season. Murray makes the save. Penguins win the game, and he does! Matt Murray! He stops Brian Boyle. It's game over. Shootout victory for the black and gold in Nashville. Final score, 2-1.
FS Predators and then AT&T Sportsnet. Couple calls from last night's dramatic Penguins victory by the skin of their teeth. Another late goal allowed to tie it up at 1, and a save by Matt Murray on Brian Boyle. Am I missing something there? Like,
why Brian Boyle's
Nashville
out there?
Does Nashville not have a better shootout skater than a guy who looks like he skates in an adult league somewhere?
I was going to say, Brian Boyle looks like the guy who cosplays as a pirate every year or something like that. Some sort of villain in some sort of Vin Diesel movie.
He has scored a lot of goals against the Penguins the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's not a good reason in a shootout to go to him. They have a lot better. Mears was acting, by the way. By the way he talked about it, like, logically they'd send Brian Boyle out there. I was like, really? You know what my experience watching that game was last night? By the way, that's What's on Tap, brought to you by Fatheads 15 Packs, something I considered grabbing on my way in today, frankly.
How about now drinking an entire 15-pack before the show?
Now available at Sunshine, Daydream, and Bumbleberry.
That thought crossed my mind. Bob Airy at 3 o'clock, but go ahead.
So I was watching that game, the Predators. We had the discussion on the air, are you going to watch Hoops or are you going to watch the Penguins game? And on the big screen in the living room, baby's asleep, everything good. Me and the dog down there. It was actually Penguins on the big screen.
With Alex?
No, she was way to bed at that point. She had to work at 12 today, so that's how that's going. The iPad had basketball on it, and I took the dog out with about 6 minutes left, and I'm walking the dog, letting him do his business, and as he does his business, I think, man, I bet you I'm going to walk back in, I'm going to look at this score on my phone, and have to go back and watch to find out how we are in overtime now. I walk in the house, I still hear hockey on, I go, this is interesting. And sure enough, it's 1-1. It was just unbelievable that this streak has now reached how many games? 3?
Yep.
Where they've blown a lead in the, we'll call it the last 5 minutes of a game.
Philadelphia.
In the last
Sunday
30
night,
seconds.
Carolina Tuesday night.
Last 2 minutes.
And then Nashville last night.
Essentially,
all
last
3 games
minutes.
Went to overtime or the shootout.
And they get the point yesterday, the extra point, after getting just the loser's point in the first two. What I actually, the thought that ran through my head, because I knew we'd talk about it today, was
is a win still a win?
Well, yes, technically, but in the playoffs, you don't go 3-on-3. In the playoffs,
so no.
You don't have Brian Boyle out there. If that's a playoff game, and we're getting pretty close to the time and place where it will be for them, you're going 5-on-5, and you're bitterly disappointed because you just gave up another. Imagine if they had played 3 playoff games. This is a round one series against whoever they'd be slated to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had had the lead in all 3 games with less than 3 minutes to go or so, and had surrendered that lead all 3 times and had only won 1 of the 3 in overtime, people here would be doing what? Gnashing their teeth,
they'd
wailing.
Be apoplectic.
They're down 2-1. They should be up 3-0. How have they let this slip away? And that's all I keep thinking about is the playoffs are around the corner. They might want to start closing the deal in regulation here to show me that they're getting good at it. That was how I came off looking at it, man. I saw that the sentiment exists that, hey, a win is a win, so and they needed a win because Montreal's creeping back up and Columbus is now on the outside looking in. No, man, I want to see them start closing
the show.
Yeah,
listen to Sullivan on it after the game.
We got to continue to, I think, just keep our focus on the one task at hand and just stay in the moment. But I was thrilled for them tonight. I thought we played a hard game. I know sometimes you guys like to use the adjective that we blew a lead, you know. It's 1-0. You know, I mean, there's scoring chances at both ends. Sometimes a chance is going to go in your net. You've just got to keep playing, react, and respond the right way. And that's what we told our guys. We're playing well here. Just keep playing.
The definition of blowing a lead is when you have a lead and then you don't. So, Mike, it's not you guys saying it. It's people that understand the English language and how it works saying that you're blowing these
leads. I've heard Mike Sullivan after wins come down on his team, and I've heard, conversely, after they played really hard and didn't get the result they wanted, he was very praiseworthy of their effort. Now, there's only a handful of games left. So maybe in his mind, no matter how ugly it looks, if you win, that's all that matters this time of year. But I've always looked at Mike Sullivan as a process over result guy. You know, like,
well, that would inform the win part where he rips him after wins.
He is saying there that we played a good game and we had chances on both ends, and I'm not disappointed. Like, it wasn't fire wagon hockey. We weren't undisciplined. But the fact of the matter is, you weren't buttoned up enough either in front of your goaltender or the goalie himself three straight times to lock up and preserve a win. And you needed gimmicks to win both games. You needed 3-on-3, or you needed the shootout. And the only reason why I would feel like a win is a win, or I'm not really in the mood to rip the Penguins, is because of what happened around them last night. Because of what happened around them. The other teams that you're looking at and scoreboard watching down the stretch here all lost. The Blue Jackets again got beat by Edmonton. And now you've got reports out of there that guys in that locker room are telling the reporters who regularly cover the Blue Jackets that they're panicking. Awesome. Great.
That's a couple weeks early for Bobrovsky, right, to do that?
He's not even playing. They can't even put it on Bob. Montreal gets blanked by Montreal blanks the Islanders 4-0. So now Pittsburgh and New York are tied.
Well, yeah, but that's all stuff happening outside your house.
Tampa Bay over Carolina 6-3.
Inside the house, wouldn't call it great. I think Mike Sullivan, he might be a process over results guy, and that might inform the whole sending messages even after wins. But I guess what I read there in his comments is he has decided. I do think he's a guy in hockey terms who knows his team pretty well and generally speaking is able to get the most out of them. I think that would bear out in their results that they've forged here, Pony. But he's being real. This is real interesting about the timing of him deciding to say, you know what, I'm happy for those guys that they won a game. I could see him easily being like, after a win, if he felt maybe more confident in his team, saying, you know what, we won, but we blew another lead. Right to say we blew another lead.
He's not concerned about them blowing leads, are you?
I am. Here's another reason I am that isn't just, hey, when you blow a lead in the playoffs, you have to keep playing 5-on-5 hockey for an indeterminate period of time. Don't we always talk about the traditional wisdom in almost every case? I think like the 2012 or 14 Kings are one of the only teams to surmount this. You need an easy series to win a Stanley Cup. You need a fairly quick one, either 4-5 or a somewhat less stressful 6. The way they're going right now, they might win some series, but they are going to be in 6- and 7- game wars if they keep blowing late leads. And so that's what would worry me most. If I think that they need to cruise through that first or second round, I might think they're capable of winning it, but I think they're going to be in some crucibles.
They beat a really good team on the road.
Is that how you go about it then?
But the way they beat them will not be available to them in, what, 3 weeks? You can't send Sidney Crosby out there to go 1-on-1 with Pekka Rinne, and then after he scores, watch Brian Boyle skate at 7 miles per hour down the ice to go 1-on-1.
Well, he was
against Pekka Rinne.
He looked like a Ferrari compared to Johansson coming in at about 1 mile an hour and sitting there. Somebody pointed out on Twitter, they are one of only 4 teams to not have a regulation loss this year when leading after 2 periods, a 34-0-4. So good stat, it is. But a bunch of those 4 games are games that are happening lately. What, 2 of the 4?
And the other, in the thing about that stat that is irrelevant into this conversation is it doesn't account for when you take the lead in the third period.
Right.
And then you have a lead with a few minutes left and you give it away. So it's tied after 2, you score to go up like the Carolina game, and then you give one back late.
I think there's reason for concern, and yet I can't sound the alarm too too much because I said yesterday them at 15-1 looks like a hell of a bet right now for value's sake to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, but I don't, Chris, but hold on. I don't think you just say they won the game, period. Shut up. There's no other room for analysis or there's
nuance.
No, yeah, we're not allowed to review the game or find things that are off-putting, like giving up a late goal for the third consecutive game.
Do you notice any common denominator in how this has happened?
Yes.
Are you seeing certain?
The last two I do. The last two are bad goals by Murray. You can't let a puck go off the lip of your glove, and then you can't get beat short side by a defenseman. A shot that I thought was just one of those, well, let's kind of throw bleep against the wall and see what happens.
Chuck it in.
And it finds its way through.
The weird thing for me in saying that it's Matt Murray giving up two softies or two questionable ones to cause all of this, the weird thing for me is that if you actually look at his numbers in these games, his numbers are very good. His save percentage is very high. So I just got a birthday card from my own parents that said, are you a glass half full or glass half empty guy? In your case, you're a empty that glass and fill it with beer guy.
Well, that's absolutely true. Where did they find that?
I know
card?
From the parents. That's always an interesting message that gets sent.
You were disappointed because it didn't say craft beer.
I think it was implied. But right, if I were,
they probably like wrote it in. It was like a Sharpie craft beer.
The little carrot to put an extra word in. If I were going to be glass half full, I'd say, man, Matt Murray's save percentage. He has saved almost everything he's seen, including a lot of high danger ones. If I were being glass half empty, it would be trickle through.
I know
flurry type stuff.
But when you called me today, when we were getting ready to put the show together, you said to me, look, I don't know what to tell you. I watched the end of that game, and I didn't come away with it with a great taste in my mouth. You said that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because even though I just gave you the glass half full, glass half empty, if I'm picking a glass right now to drink on the air metaphorically, it's half empty. I don't like it. A win is a win feels like something that more diehard fans say when they're sort of trying to beat back a rising current of anxiety about the way a team is handling a specific situation. I wouldn't like the way they're handling late and close. What happens in playoff games usually? They're late, they're close. That tends to be the MO of NHL Stanley Cup playoffs.
And you can't go 3-on-3 and you can't go shootout.
They have a huge advantage in 3-on-3 because they have still arguably the most skilled team in the league. It's gone.
I didn't rip them for losing in the 3-on-3. Like, I didn't.
Well, because it's a gimmick. Because you know it has no relevance to the playoffs.
I didn't crush Crosby for that pinch, and I didn't crush them for losing the shootout to Carolina. Therefore, to be consistent, I'm not going to pat them on the back for winning the shootout. What is relevant to all three games is that you were up and you couldn't maintain a lead. And I think you try to figure out what's the problem. Why is that the case? And the last two, I go back to the goalie, who could play a great 57 minutes, but
it's a 60-minute sport.
Where is the big save when you need it late?
If the Steelers were playing great and then losing in the fourth quarter because they were falling apart, we would be hammering them for it. If the Pirates were five games worse than they should be because Felipe Vasquez had blown five saves.
That happened last year.
Right, exactly. We would be hammering them and lamenting the what-ifs. Just because the Penguins have so far avoided the ugliness part of this doesn't mean I think it's not cause for concern.
It's 15 after the hour, and it's brought to you by Fatheads 15 Packs, now available in Sunshine Daydream and Bumbleberry. Chris will open up both cans
really
and just
right
chug
now.
Them at the same time. How is Matt Murray playing right now? 412-928-9370. We'll discuss that next. It's the PM team.
You know what? Honestly, I just kind of try to play hockey out there, so I just try to stop every puck no matter what time of the game, no matter what scenario it's in. I just play hockey, man, so it doesn't change no matter what.
I think he's playing terrific. You know, he's made some big saves. You know, he's so calm and confident in there. He looks so big in the net. I think he's playing terrific.
Please, one day, I want to walk in here and I want someone to say, Pony, you look big in the net.
Big in the chair. Pony, you look big in the chair right now.
You look big.
Not one any of us have heard, right?
Not getting that one. Craig?
The look on Craig's face just now was probably the saddest thing I've seen since the end of The Lion King. My God.
No, the saddest thing you've seen today was when Cincinnati just took that.
Iowa. I have to say, I had them winning the game. I didn't have them winning against Tennessee, who I have in the Final Four. You had them going deep into this thing.
I pick a dark horse every year to get to the Final Four, and I jumped on that horse, and I was loving it up 10 in the first half, and now I am going to, at some point, have to find some anger management therapies or things to do during breaks to kind of keep my composure through the rest of the show. Matt Murray, a .939 save percentage in his last 10 games.
If I just go to these three games, Pony, that they have had the loser point in two of them, what do you think his save percentage is just the last three starts?
.941.
Higher. .953. 101 out of 106 he's saved.
But he's given up late goals.
So I know. It's a hard question because he's given up late goals, and ultimately that's my takeaway. Like, I want to see this team be a lot sharper. But how do I ignore numbers? You're a numbers guy. I'm a numbers guy. A .953 save percentage. 101 out of 106 saved.
So then how is Matt Murray playing right now? Do you agree with Sullivan? Has he been terrific?
Yes, he has been. It's weird because I know he has been the responsible party in two of these last three games. Crosby, I put the Philly loss on. Murray gives up a juggling goal against Carolina to tie it, and then that bad short side goal to a defenseman, like you said last night. And yet I would say he's playing great. And I guess that what I would couch that with is, or what I would say to support that is, every one of these games, they could have gotten beaten badly had he not been really sharp to that point. Philly put how many shots on him in the third period? Like 19?
Yeah.
They peppered him. None of these, the Nashville game is the one game where they suppressed the other team's shots to a decent degree. The first two, it was 38 shots allowed and 39.
But do you feel like he's needing to, all right, here comes the hockey cliche, stand on his head to win these games?
I feel like he is making, not quite stand on the head saves, but I think he is playing like solid A-level hockey for 58 and a half minutes.
Yeah, but that's not...
Well, the problem is that it's F hockey for the last 90 seconds. So they're a hard team to read right now. I still go back to what we said yesterday. If somebody said you can't bet on Tampa to win, you want good odds on a team you think could do it, I'd take them at 15 to 1. I would say that if they get healthy, they are going to be a problem for somebody. But then I have all this evidence in front of me that apparently if they get it, the most dangerous place you can be as a Penguins fan is watching your team up one with less than 5 minutes to play.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram with locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Based on our conversation with Jimmy Vaccaro at the Sportsbook yesterday, he said that there was one game on the schedule that all the smart money people were betting on today, that he had one game circled on today's slate of games that all the insiders in Vegas are getting on board with.
I have that team. I know what team it is.
Craig,
I have them.
Did you hear this? Do you remember this from yesterday?
I don't, and now I'm kicking myself.
All right. Well, you still have time. It hasn't tipped yet.
That's big news.
Stay tuned. It's the PM team on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.